Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we consider this morning are taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 to 25. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So far, a text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who completely absolves us of all our many sins, dear fellow redeemed, have you ever had certain dark misdeeds in your past that crop up in your minds to torment and trouble you? Even though we resolve those sins with the Lord in a God-pleasing way, our sin-scarred minds have a way of reminding us of grievous offenses we were guilty of years and years ago. And when they come to mind, our consciences may once again prick our hearts with guilt. We may even experience fears and doubts as to whether or not God really forgave us of that dark misdeed that we committed in the past. When such dreadful thoughts and feelings occur, we could join the psalmist David in saying to the Lord, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." Whenever we're weighed down with guilt and shame and fear because of our transgressions, we go to the Scriptures and are reminded of those sweet and consoling words of our Savior that he pronounces upon the penitent sinner. "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." That's what you hear Jesus say to that paralytic man who was brought before him with four good friends. Yes, Jesus could see that the man was paralyzed and wanted to come to him in order that he could be healed in his body. But Jesus could see an even greater need for healing of his soul. That's why he started out the way he did. "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." So this man was not only healed in his body, he was healed in his soul. Not only do we have receive these comforting and reassuring words from our Savior, but he also reveals to us in our sermon text today this wonderful, extraordinary truth. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. I will not remember your sins. What a truly amazing and astounding, forgiving God that we have. That which he has forgiven us by his grace and mercy, he remembers no more. And he doesn't hold us accountable for those sins that we have committed in the past. What an amazing thing this is. Even though we remember the sins of our past, once God forgives us, he doesn't remember it. This very comforting and reassuring divine revelation was originally written to the children of Israel, who were being held in bondage in the foreign country of Babylon. This people as a nation had long been guilty of rebelling against God and forsaking him. And so the Lord, because of this, visited them with a righteous judgment of carrying them off miles and miles away from their homeland to this pagan land of Babylon in captivity. In verses 22 to 24 of our text, the Lord speaks of how the Israelites had wearied him and burdened his heart with their sinfulness and their worship life and their daily living, saying of them, "But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." The great privilege of worshiping the Lord is intended to serve for our spiritual well-being and for the glory of God. In the name of our Savior, we can bring all our many prayers and petitions and cast them off unto him. All our cares, all our worries, all our problems, we can just cast them off and leave them with him to take care of. In our worship encounters, our merciful God helps us with our sin problem as we repent of our sin and are comforted and cheered in the knowledge of his redeeming love and are moved by his love for us to live our lives unto him out of love. And in a thankful response to all his many rich and bountiful blessings, we thank and praise his holy name in words and songs. Oh, this is truly a blessed thing, and yet how often have we neglected, misused, and abused such opportunities? Whenever this occurs, instead of being pleasing to our Lord, we weary and burden his heart. In the case of the children of Israel, we hear the Lord sighing over their past neglectful and empty worship, their hypocritical sacrifices. In regard to their prayer and sacrifices, many of them didn't even bring anything to the Lord. And when they did sacrifice and pray, it was to false gods. When Israel's devotional life suffered, it also followed that their lives of service to God greatly suffered. Now, it would be easy for us to sit on the sidelines and to criticize the children of Israel, thinking, how in the world could these people who have been so richly blessed by their God treat God so in their worship life, in their daily life? But then we'd be missing out on the Spirit's intent to help us, to be conscious of our own shortcomings in this area of life, and to guard against falling into the pitfalls. How often haven't we needlessly been anxious and worried about problems because we didn't bring it to the Lord in prayer? Or when we did pray, weren't there times when we prayed without giving it a whole lot of thought and meaning? I remember growing up at home, and we sit down for the meal, and of course, you, as custom, you begin with a prayer. And invariably, one of the kids would say, "Hey, did we pray?" They weren't thinking about what they just said. Or the Lord's Prayer. We know that prayer inside and out. How often do we pray that prayer without giving thought to the different petition that we are bringing to the Lord? Have there not been times when we were reading or listening to the scriptures and we didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to what we heard or read? Or we failed to apply it in our daily lives? Also, in our use of the worship liturgy and our hymn singing, haven't we fallen sometimes into a rut by simply saying the words without thinking them? Like the children of Israel, when our worship life suffers, our life of service to the Lord also greatly suffers. Oh, how this wearies and burdens the heart of our Lord. But thanks be to God for his patience with us, his infinite mercy, his powerful deliverance, and his gracious ways with us so that he remembers our sins no more. The Lord draws our attention to this when, the beginning of verse 19, he says, "Behold," that is, stop what you're doing. Look and pay close attention to the new and wonderful things that I'm doing for you as your Lord and Savior. In contrast to this new thing, the Lord said in the previous verse, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." The things of old were those acts of God of mercifully and powerfully delivering the children of Israel from their captivity in Egypt. Each year, coming up pretty soon, they would celebrate the Passover. That would remind them of their great and wonderful deliverance from their bondage in Egypt. Now, when the Lord said for Israel not to remember these things, it doesn't mean for them to just completely and totally forget about it. No. He wants them to realize that they should give a greater attention to his new and far more glorious deliverance. This new deliverance was none other than the spiritual and eternal redemption of sinful man in his salvation of our souls. There is certainly no other deliverance in all of history that as great and wonderful as this act of our Lord when Jesus was lifted up on Calvary's hill to lay down his life for all our sins so that we are delivered from the captivity of sin, death, and the devil. May the Lord help us to never lose sight of or cease to appreciate how great a salvation our Lord and God has provided for us through our Savior Jesus Christ. For if we ever fall into this way, our sinful flesh is quick to rush in and fill the void and lead us into sin, impenitence, and unbelief. The Lord revealed in our text that this new and greatest deliverance would begin to spring forth when in the days to come he would set Israel free from their captivity, their bondage in Babylon. And he would make a way for them, road through the wilderness, give them water in the wilderness so that they made it home to Palestine safely and alive. So this was a start of the new era of Israel's history that would reach its climax with the redemptive work of Jesus, which sets us free from our captivity of sin. In fact, this is the climax of all human history. Can you think of another event in all of history that has been so as important as this? What Jesus did for all the world to take away all of our sins and to give us eternal life. This is the climax of human history. When we hear the Lord speaking of making a road through a barren and lifeless wilderness so that Israel could make their way safely home to their homeland, This could well prompt us to think of our own barren and lifeless condition we have by nature. For when we're dead in trespasses and sins, there's nothing in us that could merit God's love. We're hopeless. We're helpless all by ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Thank God that He sent His Son to be our road to life eternal. Jesus said about Himself, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Along the road of life, the Lord gives us a drink of His gracious water that flows forth from the Scriptures. Jesus once said of this spiritual water that flows from His Word, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I'd like to read for you once again that beautiful declaration by the Lord, which is the focal point of the whole sermon text, even the very focal point of our life. The Lord declared concerning Himself, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." There's no greater message in all the world for us to hear and be reminded of again and again and again. I remember talking to a member up in the UP, and he was commenting about a former pastor, and he says, "No, Pastor, this other pastor that served us just before you was always talking about Jesus." Well, what is this about? I don't care, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about Jesus, our Savior. And we need to hear about that time after time after time. Why? Because we're sinners. And we need to be comforted and cheered by that wonderful good news of our Savior Jesus Christ. So for His own sake, Jesus, God says, on the basis of His own unmerited love, the Lord completely and totally blotted out all of our sins. He's completely wiped clean the book of our life, so that when we come before the judgment seat of God in the last day and the Lord opens up the book of your life, what will He see? He won't see a single sin that's written there, because it's been blotted out. It's been washed away through the blood of Christ. The only thing that He's going to find in the book of your life are your works and deeds that you do out of faith and love for the Lord. We don't need to be afraid of judgment day, because Jesus has washed away our sins, and God forgives it and doesn't remember it ever again. So because of Jesus' redemptive work, the prophet Isaiah could say about us without any doubt or hesitation, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Concerning the response to this new deliverance by Jesus, the Lord declares in our text, "The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." Ordinarily, we don't think of animals speaking and singing the praises of God, but in their own special way, they honor Him. They honor Him for His mighty deliverance of His people. What is more familiar to us is God's people speaking and singing the praises of God. Have been washed clean of all our sins so that God remembers them no more. How can we not but speak and sing the praises of our Savior God? No matter what the worship form, liturgy, or hymn, if in that context you find the wonderful truths of God being revealed, our response is to praise Him, to thank Him in word and song. And our words of praise are not just limited to what we say and sing to the Lord in His house and our house. It also includes our speaking the praises of the Lord to other people. Like Peter said, I cannot help but speak of Him and all the wonderful things that He has done for us in all the world. We want others to hear of this wonderful deliverance. Earlier I spoke of being troubled by our past and current misdeeds. And by the grace of God, we're comforted time and again by the gospel of Christ. We are among the comparatively few sinners in the world who are at peace with God. There are countless souls all over the world who are hurting in their souls because of the guilt and the fear and the shame that they feel. They don't know or believe in that deliverance that Jesus has provided us and all the world. How can we not but try to help those around us when we have the opportunity to speak of what God has done for us and all the world? For the comfort of our sin-troubled souls, may God help us remember when He forgives us, He remembers those sins no more. And for the comfort of others, may God help us to share this good news with them so that they can be at peace with God as we are. Because when God forgives us, He remembers our sins no more. Praise and thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.